The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I'm going to read it in its entirety, all eight verses, Psalm 61, all eight verses. And I want to encourage you, as I always do, I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open. Amen. If you're here in the sanctuary, certainly you want to stand in honor of the word. And if you, wherever you are, We have, out of reverence for the word of God, we stand. And while I can't see you necessarily, the Lord can. And so you're not standing for me. No, ma'am, no, sir. But we're standing in reverence to the word of God. But again, I want you to keep your Bibles open, your apps, or whatever the case may be, because I believe something may be said or done that can prick your hearts and or your minds. As a matter of fact, I don't want you just to even take the note down. I want you to do what Psalm 107:2 says. Psalm 107:2 says what? Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Come on, Bible readers. I'd have to say so. So whether you're here in the sanctuary or even online, do as the scripture says and say so. When you hear something that you can say amen to, say amen. When you hear something that speaks to you, just say thank you, Jesus. Online, just put an emotion or some sort of something online to let folk know that the Lord, that you hear the Lord speaking to you. Amen. Psalm 61, 1 through 8. Today I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible, or the NIV. It says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Verse 8 says, then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. So on this first Sunday of July, July 4th weekend, as we continue to press our way through this trying year, we are indeed living in some serious times, and life is upside down, it feels right now. So many things in life are up in the air or on hold or have been canceled because of COVID-19, of course. But there's also the social unrest as Independence Day 2020 is infused with new meaning about what it means to be an American, rooted in a collective efforts to squarely confront the bitter and beautiful struggles that shape our profoundly historic present. I think you would agree with me that we need some hope today. Come on, somebody. We need the kind of hope that comes from the Word of God through Christ Jesus. So in the midst of everything that we're going through, I'm speaking an honest word today with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, when God seems far away. When God seems far away, before you take your seat from wherever, certainly here in the sanctuary and from wherever you might be, certainly there's that prayer that we pray each week. It's a prayer that gets us on one accord. It's a prayer why many of us have so much to be in prayer about and so many things that we pray for. But this is a time that as the Spirit of the church hears, as he that hath an ear hears what the Spirit has to say to the church, we want to be on one accord to hear what the Spirit has to say. So repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God when God seems far away. The first two verses of this passage in the Message translation reads like this: God, listen to me shout. Bend an ear to my prayer when I'm far from anywhere, down to my last gasp. I call out, guide me up High Rock Mountain. The story is told of a certain little boy who missed his father, who was separated from the family for a long time by military duty. But the boy was comforted by a picture of his dad that sat in a frame on his nightstand. When he was frightened at night, he would stare at the picture and imagine his father was watching over him. But one night, that didn't work. And his mother hears the little boy's weeping, so she comes into his room and she asks him what's wrong. Through the tears, the little boy answered his mother and he said, I just want daddy to come out the frame. Has that ever been your experience? Here's what I mean. You know the Heavenly Father is real. Come on, somebody. You know he's good. You know he loves you. Yet there are times when God seems to be in a frame. Talking about those times when it feels that God does not hear your call, see your need, or feel your pain. Those times when God seems far away. Well, this brief but beautiful psalm here is tailored to teach us what to do when God seems far away. Psalm 61 is ascribed to David, but it's not clear when he wrote it. Verse 2 in the NIV says, from the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Verse 4 says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Now, looking at the text, it suggests that David might be exiled from Jerusalem and the temple. Some commentators ascertain that David wrote this psalm while he was fleeing from his son Absalom. It's also been considered a song that David wrote as he returned home from exile. But here it is. While there are many times where I certainly will take the time to make sure that we understand the context of a particular text. Come on, somebody. And it is important to understand the times that a particular text was written. But here is the truth of the matter when it comes to this psalm. We really don't quite know when it was written. We really don't quite know what the circumstances or the conditions were. Because the point of this psalm, hear me when I say this, is not found in the historical circumstances that David faced. If you're taking notes, write this down. The point of this psalm is found in the spiritual condition that David experienced. Why is that important? It's important because there's too many times when people read or they hear a particular text and they read about a circumstance or they hear about a situation and they'll say, well, that's not my circumstance. They'll say, that's not my situation. And so every now and then people will disengage from the text and they'll always presume that that must be for somebody other than themselves. But the truth of the matter is that regardless of your situation, we all have circumstances. We all have issues that we're dealing with. And regardless of those things, the bottom line is all of us experience spiritual sickness. We're all on the spiritual sick list. So whatever the geography, whether you're somewhere online listening into this, whatever city or state, wherever you might be seated here in the sanctuary, whatever your situation or your condition, here it is. David was at a place where God seemed far away. Have you been there? Come on, somebody. Am I talking to somebody who might be there right now? And the thing is, David wanted more than a simple return to Jerusalem, he wanted more than just another occasion to worship in the temple. Ah, but Sister Stephanie, what David longed for was a greater sense of God's loving presence, his protective care, and his strengthening grace. So look what David did. He prayed. He prayed, here it is, that distance would be transformed into intimacy. And in so doing, what David shows us is what we should do when God does seem far away. One thing that we need to do that I know that some of us will say, I really do all the time, but quite honestly, some of us have secretly stopped doing. The one thing that we need to do when God seems far away in one word is pray. It's pray. You can never be so far away that God cannot hear you when you call. As a matter of fact, this text says David wasn't just praying, and the message says he was shouting, amen. Wherever you are, I don't know who I'm talking to, but wherever you might be mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, wherever it is, we have the freedom and the liberty to draw near to God and will always find a way open to the throne of grace. So, question is, not do you pray? The question is, how should we pray when God seems far away? Well, let's watch the text, because this particular psalm, Psalm 61, is a great example of how private need can be communicated to God through corporate worship. Did you see what I said? I said that this psalm is an example of how private need, doesn't matter whether we are 6 feet socially distanced, doesn't matter whether you are online or here in the sanctuary, no matter how corporate our worship is, there are still private needs that all of us have. But this is an example of how a private need can be communicated even through corporate worship. Look at verses 1 through 4. For they teach us to pray with confidence that God will not only hear, but God will help. Psalm begins with words of lamentation. Verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. These opening words teach us an important lesson about the nature of true prayer. David cried to God. Again, the message says ultimately he shouted. In other words, this wasn't a little quiet prayer that David was bowing his head at the breakfast or the dinner table. Come on, somebody. But he was crying out to God. The word cry refers to a loud or a piercing sound. The word was most often used to describe a cry of joy. But here it expresses agony. It expresses not ecstasy, but it is an urgent, desperate cry. In other words, this is, Sister Fitzgerald, an SOS distress signal. So why did David cry to God in prayer, Brother John? Well, verse 1 answers with two words. He says, hear and listen. You see, David is not going through an empty ritual of saying his prayers. Venting does not satisfy his soul's need. I know we all vent every now and then, but venting does not satisfy his soul's need. Getting it off his chest, that's what some folk tell you to do. Get it off your chest, but getting it off his chest does not help. He needs God to hear his cry, and he needs God to listen to his prayer. He needed God, in essence, to pay attention and take heed to what he heard. This is really what prayer is all about. It's not about saying the right words. Prayer is about getting the right ear. Good God Almighty, I'll say it again. I said prayer is more than about us saying the right words. It's about us getting the right ear. That's why you need to make sure you stop going to the phone and start going to the throne. David then says in verse 2, the first part, part A, he says, from the ends of the earth, I call to you. Now, let's take a time right there. So we're reading it in the contextual, and it says, you got to ask yourself, what then are the ends of the earth? Well, some commentators would say that it's a poetic statement of the fact that David was exiled, or he might have been exiled from Jerusalem. Others think it might refer to a Sheol, that is, it's a grave or a place of the dead. That would otherwise say that David was near death. But the Holy Spirit, even when it talks to the fresh anointing of a word that needs to be spoken here in 2020 during July 4th, Freedom Weekend, the Holy Spirit suggests to me that the reference is spiritual and not physical. David, in essence, Sister Stalwart, felt distanced from God. Thus, he seems to describe this spiritual reality in geographical terms. He says it's as if he found himself in the most remote part of planet Earth, yet from the ends of the earth, David called the Lord. That speaks to somebody. You may feel like whether you're at the end of your rope, you at the end of your patience, or whatever you feel like you at the end of, the text suggests that still David called upon the Lord. Verse 2, part B says, I call as my heart grows faint. That's the NIV. The King James translates this phrase, when my heart is overwhelmed. Am I talking to anybody here? Because indeed, there are some times when the heart becomes overwhelmed. All of our hearts can become overwhelmed by situations or certainly the circumstances of life. But this is about more than an emotional response. I'm teaching the text. This is more than about an emotional response to difficult circumstances. This is actually total exhaustion. Have you been there? Am I talking to anybody? Maybe you're there right now. I'm talking, it's when one's whole being runs not just low, but empty of energy. It is to be without hope, courage, or strength. You see, when the heart is faint, you become tired physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's bad enough to be at or feel like you are at the ends of the earth, but when the heart is faint, come on, somebody, it makes being or feeling like you are at the ends of the earth even worse. But watch the text, because even from the ends of the earth, David says, I call to you when my heart is faint. That needs to encourage somebody right now. You see, being or feeling like you are at the ends of the earth is transformed when your heart is filled with some hope, some courage, some strength that tells you, child of God, you hold on because you coming out of this. Yeah, you hold on. Don't you give up. You hold on because you are coming out of this. Watch the text, because in the second part of verse 2 into verse 3, David uses three wonderful pictures. Remember, this is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. In Hebrew is the language of pictures. It's a poetic language. It's a pictorial language. And so there are three wonderful pictures here that David uses to describe how God protects his own. The first thing he says in verse 2, part B, is he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The picture is that God is a rock. What this says is this prayer requests both confesses human inadequacy and affirms divine sufficiency. I say it again. I said that the prayer request both confesses human inadequacy. In other words, that's just some stuff you're not going to be able to get yourself out of. You got yourself in it, but you're not going to be able to get yourself out of it. So you have to confess your human inadequacy, but affirm divine sufficiency. David needed a rock because he was weak. His only hope is to get to a rock to which he can hold on to. David also needs a rock to be high. Why is that significant? He needs it to be high because he is small. You see, here it is, a water level rock, good God Almighty, a water level rock provides no safety. The crashing waves will overwhelm you. They'll wash you back to the sea. So David needs a rock that is higher than he is. But not only that, David further needs to be led to this high rock because he himself cannot see through the storm. So he needs an invisible hand to turn the storm, to order the waves, and to lead him to the high rock. Of course, we all know that the rock is who? Is Jesus. It's God himself. He is called a rock. Watch the text. Turn to Psalm 62. He is actually called a rock three times in that psalm alone. Watch this. Verses 2 and verse 6 of Psalm 62 read the exact same way. The NIV says, "Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." That's twice. Then in verse 7, it says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Yes, God is our rock. He has proven this by sending his son to hold on to us for eternal life. But then here back in the text in Psalm 61, the first of three wonderful pictures God uses to describe how God protects his own. He says God is a rock. But then in verse 3, the second picture is that God is a refuge. Verse 3, good God Almighty, David gives two reasons why he asks God to lead him to a high rock. The first reason is because God has already proven himself to be his refuge. You see, if you're taking notes, write this down. A refuge is a place, a safety from danger. It was actually an ancient, what we would call an ancient panic room. Come on, somebody. It's a safe house. It's a safe house where one fled to escape advancing enemies. That's who our God is. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. But let me show you something here. Can I show you something? Psalm 46 and 1 is a testimony of our corporate deliverance. I'll read it again. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. But here in Psalm 61 and 3, this is a testimony of personal deliverance. You see, while corporately, there are times when we might raise our hands because that's what everybody else is doing in the room. But it's not about you trying to mimic the corporate deliverance. We need to make sure that you yourself personally is being delivered. David says, for you have been my. See, you need to be able to make this thing personal. You have been my refuge. You see, when there was nowhere else to turn, David found a hiding place in God. And when he fled to God, he discovered that no one but God can help you when you cannot keep yourself. God is a refuge. So God is a rock. God is a refuge. But the third thing here that's illustrated that David shows us is that God is a strong tower. There's another reason, Brother Reggie, that David gives for why he asked God to lead him to a high rock. You see, God had been a strong tower against the enemy. But can I drop one of them points right about here in the text? One of them points, them things that make you go, type moments. Come on, somebody. Something that makes you go, Now, I just described what a refuge was. So watch this. A strong tower serves the same purpose as refuge. They're both safety. But here's the difference. Remember, this is pictures. These are words. Words have meaning. So why do we use two different words? Because there are two different meanings. So watch this. A refuge, remember, they both mean safety. A refuge is where you turn for safety when the enemy is chasing you away from the city. But a strong tower is where you turn for safety when the enemy attacks the city. Good God Almighty, I just said something right there. I say it again. I said that God is a refuge, but he's a strong tower. So a refuge is where you turn for safety when the enemy chases you away from the city. But a strong tower is where you turn for safety when the enemy is attacking the city. A strong tower was a place of defense built on the wall of the city. In other words, the watchman would stand guard in the strong tower. And when the enemy attacked, the strong tower was a strategic battle station where you could reach the enemy without the enemy being able to reach you. Good God Almighty. You see, a refuge was a safe place to hide, but a strong tower was a safe place to fight. Come on, somebody. This is our God. Come on, y'all. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. So somebody tell me, where is a good place to run that's safe? Where you been running to? Huh? Who have you been running to? Where is a good place for me to fight against the enemy? I'll tell you, a good strategic battle station is where I can reach the enemy without the enemy reaching me. Watch the text, because in verse 4a it says, let me dwell in your tent forever. Can I keep teaching this text? I'm almost through with you. The tent here that David mentions is more than a pop-up tent that you might pop up in your backyard, or you might pop up in a campground for you to go and hang out with nature. No, this was the tabernacle. You see, the tabernacle was where the Lord met his people. You see, before the temple was erected, teach Holy Ghost, before the temple was erected, the tabernacle was the house of God. David asked to dwell in the tent of God. So this indicates that David may have been in exile, and he longed to return to the sanctuary for worship, just like so many of you, so many of us here desire, who are in proverbial exile because of COVID-19, and we desire, we long to return to the sanctuary for worship. But if you know David, and if you've ever taken any time to study David, then you need to know that David's consuming and ongoing desire was to dwell not just in the house of God, but to dwell in the presence of God. Psalm 27:4, David says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Brother John, this seems to be David's focus here in the text as he prays to dwell in the Lord's tent forever. And you see, my brothers and my sisters, this actually should be our ultimate desire. Because while we all desire to get back in the house, while we all desire to get back into our worship, places of worship and our worship houses for us to corporately worship God. And truly, I understand that experience. I too am there with you. But listen, don't waste this season. Don't waste this time of becoming more intimate with God. You see, you may be away from the temple, but spend time in the tent. Or spend time in the tabernacle, because it's in the tabernacle where God, the presence of God, is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God desires to be intimate with you and with me. And it's, listen, and that intimacy is not hurt because you have to remain distant from the church house. No, ma'am, no, sir. That intimacy is hurt when you remain in distance or when you draw back from the presence of God. And some have drawn back from the presence of God because they can't be present in church. And God has said, listen, I've been telling you that the church is more than the building. And we cannot waste this season to want to dwell in the tent or in the presence of God. Look what verse 4b says. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. In verse 3, David testifies, you've been my refuge. Now he prays, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Listen, if you've ever watched a mother bird would permit her babies to eat and play in the open space. But when she saw a predator or a storm that was coming, she would call her babies to herself. And as they fled to the mother bird, she would open up her wings and they would hide under the shelter of her wings. This is how God watches over you and me and us. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57:1 says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Then finally in Psalm 63:1, it says, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Listen, that is the kind of prayer that God will answer. A mother bird will not refuse to open her wings to her children in the time of trouble. And somebody needs to hear me when I say this, no matter what trouble you are in. God will not refuse. He will not turn you away. Anybody who seeks him for refuge. Actually, it's the contrary. We are exposed to so many unnecessary storms. Some we brought upon ourselves and some that's just come upon us. But yet at the same time, some of those storms are unnecessary because we have not taken refuge under the shelter of God's wings. As I get ready to close, the Holy Spirit has simply had me come today to stand and proclaim to those of you who are here, to those of you who are listening online, a word to hopefully or simply to encourage somebody on how you should pray when God seems far away. Now, first of all, I want to encourage somebody, you need to start back your prayer life again. Because some of you, whether you're here online, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit knows who I'm talking to. Some of you stop praying because you're concerned, believing that maybe God is not hearing or answering your prayer. But not only should you not stop praying, you need to know how to pray when God seems far away. And in verses 1 through 4, David draws near to God by remembering past blessings. In other words, he's praying with confidence about what God has already done. Has God already done anything for anybody here? He's praying with confidence about what God has already done. But then in verses 5 through 8, and I want you to take some time to read and study it for yourself. But you'll see how David draws near to God by anticipating future blessings. In other words, he's praying with confidence about what God will do. Psalm 61 begins with a lamentation, but it ends with celebration. For verse 8, in the NIV says, then. In the King James, it says, so. So will I ever sing praise to your name as I perform my vows day after day. The key to this closing verse is that word, so. That little word binds this prayer. It binds the prayer and praise together. Grateful praise is the appropriate response to answered prayers, even when you're waiting for God to answer your prayer. He says, so will I ever sing praise to your name. The answer to David's prayer has not yet come, yet he is determined in his response. In fact, he actually predetermines his response before his prayer ends. See, that has to be you. What is going to be your response even before your prayer ends? He says, so will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day? A vow to God was to be paid by offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's the performance of a vow was then the act of worship. So listen, when God seems far away, pray. But you pray with confidence in what the Lord has already done. And then you pray with confidence that Lord, what the Lord will do. And then even as you begin to say amen, you already anticipate your response, even as you might be waiting for God to answer your prayer. You do what the song says and you sing praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.